Australian Bible Church, Presbyterian Church, focusing on Christ without compromise, the Bible without qualification. And this is May 26. The Princely Pattern and the Priceless Prevailing Over Death. Words are one thing, dismissing death like a naughty student is another. This prince is the Prince of Princes and Lord of Lords. Today, our interest is in looking at the extraordinary way in which Christ would turn one thing, which in political terms might have seemed a disadvantage or a difficulty, into quite another thing. An extraordinary principle or power or presentation would arise out of that which could have been a vulnerability to make it a victory. And it happened again and again. The surprising, the remarkable, the exciting, the principle arising from a particular item. It's interesting to follow these and to see thereby the power of our God to surprise, to perfect, and to protect, and to project His truth. Now, as we look at Luke 19:40, we see such a case. Palm Sunday, the Sunday in which Christ comes into the midst and the people respond. It's a culminating climax. Here's the Christ. He's on the donkey as predicted. He's coming in the name of the Lord. Let's rejoice. Look at what we've got. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it a marvelous thing, popularity? How quickly it can go like the froth on the milkshake left to stand. So on this Sunday, the mood and the mode was not to crucify. No. It was to welcome the one who came in the name of the Lord. The prediction of the Messiah, even the children were singing. Blessed is he who comes into the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Having found the ass's colt, according to the prediction of Zechariah, having simply said to the man who had the colt where they went, the Lord has need of him. Everything works smoothly like clockwork. Then the people threw down their clothes for the colt to walk on. It was a time of worshipping experience and adoration. As he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, verse 37, began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Well, there's the King. Pilate even put that on the cross, the King of the Jews. Here comes the King. No trouble in identification just now, just as so many people have no trouble in identifying as Christians until it hurts. And some of the Pharisees called to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They're saying, "Behold the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They're treating you as the Messiah. Shame, say these unwise, intruding authorities. Tell your disciples to stop saying these things. Blessed is he, is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. You can't say that of this man. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, and I always love this one particularly, "I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out When they kept silence, they did, because every one of the stones in the temple was dismantled. They did cry out indeed. But the meaning here was, this would be so wrong in terms of the creation, the power, and the presence of God, that the very stones that he made were cried, you don't! And the fact that literally they did was such a testimony, and it turned things. And what a word to speak! There was no use to contradicting him or a thing like that, because it always happened. So Christ had turned this potentially embarrassing situation. Don't let them say these things about you. They're not true, aren't they? If these people were silent, if there was no voice at all in this country of God which has seen such miracles, such power, and such a princely presence, the stones would cry out. Well, that's our first example. A second one comes to movable mountains. And that is in Matthew 21:19-22. Matthew 19. I'm sorry, Matthew 21:19-22. Well, he'd come into the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus cleansed the temple. He drove away some of the money changers who were making it a commercial, profitable undertaking to sell stuff in the temple precincts. If you become preoccupied with those things in the presence of your special time of worship and so forth, well then the one being customary in commerce can drive from your mind the ready appreciation of things of adoration, worship and understanding. This was not what should be done. And then, my house shall be called, verse 13 of chapter 21 of Matthew. My house shall be called a house of prayer, a spiritual presence that has prayer as one of the offerings, is what it's for. But you have made it a den of thieves. People dodging and paying for sacrifices and going through all the tricks of the trade. And the blind, verse 14, and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests, 15, and scribes saw the wonderful things, children crying out in the temple, even children, Hosanna and the son, to the Son of David, Lord save us. To the Son of David they were indignant. What? Your children are singing that this is the Messiah and welcoming him. Do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said, yes. Not, oh no, I say, are they really saying that? Oh, this is too bad. No. He replies in a transforming manner. Now, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out of the city. In the morning, he was hungry. 19. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither so quickly, so soon? And here we come to movable mountains. So Jesus answered and said to them, surely I tell you, if you have faith, and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain. And the mountain sitting before you, in the way, of what is needed for the completion of your work for the Lord, as in his case. Be removed and be cast into the middle of the sea. I had an experience recently of doing just that. It will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So here he turns this situation. He's rebuked. Don't let the children sing this way. He turns it into a situation where, so far from stopping them, he confirms the scriptural prediction from which this comes, and then has a fig tree with it as a symbol of Israel. Israel that would wither because he wouldn't have even the children acknowledge him. Because for hundreds of years had been a chronic failure. Now, power, products, results, applications, and the crowd went on singing. Just as a week later, we hope, to some extent at least, another crowd. What do you want me to do with this Jesus, says Pilate? Crucify him. What? Your king? We have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be on us and on our children, they say. Change in the theological weather. And then again, we move to the eloquence of silence. The eloquence of silence. And we find this particular one in Mark 15. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." Undramatic, uncontentious, perfectly clear, simple, like a lake, beautiful lake in summer, with all the surrounds of peace and quiet. It is as you say. The conviction coming from calmness and certainty. Is the sky blue? It is as you say. The chief priests accused him of many things. He did this. Listen, Pilate, do you know what this man did? Have them coming like electric shock treatment to the judge to stir him up to kill an innocent man. As they got agitated, as they made many attacks, many twistings of the truth, he answered with eloquence, the eloquence of silence. This was no more of interest than a dust storm. Let them blow their hurricane. Nothing of it was true. It didn't affect him. His calm lake had no change. And Pilate said, Do you answer nothing? Verse 4. See how many things they testify against you. Can't I stir up and get a few ripples at least out of you? But Jesus still, after all these insults and extravaganzas of condemnation from the chief priests, answered with the eloquence of silence. So he had turned a rambunctious, rebellious tornado of words and hatred into a sense of wonder. Remember, he doesn't answer when his death is a possible consequence. He doesn't. Why, that's remarkable. The brakes are applied, even the vacuum brakes in the suburbs, as it were. Sudden, grasping astonishment. The contrast, black and white, light and darkness. Calm answer. In fact, attacks to sink his ship, remove his kingdom, murder his innocents. The desire of the priests with envy to remove the comparison. Look at us, look at him. Can't have this. Pilate is impressed. He's got to release somebody by a particular law every year. So he turns to Barabbas. There's one named Barabbas who they committed, and the multitude began crying. Release a man just as you always do every year from prison. Do you want me to release to you, says hopeful Pilate, who doesn't like the situation, which looks exceedingly polluted morally. But he doesn't want to become too unpopular. Rome mightn't like it. So, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? We have no king but Caesar. Priests stirring up, knowing if we keep quiet down here, there'll be no trouble from Rome. So what does it matter if you get one rid of one man? We will act as very proper citizens of the Roman Empire. We have no king but Caesar. Oh, a slight change from Palm Sunday, have we not? Poor old Pilate. What do you want me to do with him? Verse 12. Whom you call the King of the Jews. Remember Palm Sunday. So they cried out, crucify him! Like a football crowd. They're filled with excitement. Ambition to have their way. Causing them to act like a flock of birds suddenly taking off. Notice Pilate wanting to gratify the crowd, 15, released Barabbas, a revolutionary, instead of delivering Jesus, delivered a murderer or a rebel. So the soldiers begin to mock him. When he goes on the cross, you don't hear him making any pleas. These murderers! No. Father, forgive them. He turns the whole thing into a poem of peace. A presentation of power. Come out of the cross and then we'll please you. But of course, as so often in life, if you do what the popular push is for, you will be betraying your mission and commission. They tell you to do the obvious in ever so many moral areas. They want to egg you on. They want to cause you to depart from this high standard, which perhaps they sense that you're following. They want you down in their midst so there'll be nobody with whom to compare themselves. I'm 1 foot long, but he's a mile. How can I bear this? And so Jesus turned the whole thing round into one of the most powerful testimonies. In each case, the potential to silence him through embarrassment, shame, disorder, and upset is turned into lessons, principles, powerful lessons which will echo through the ages to come. It is as if the more it rained, the drier he became. As if a machine gun shooting has all its bullets deflected and a powerful impact is made on those who had been wielding them. Even when he knew that he was about to be betrayed, he was still Lord. Do what you have to do quickly, he says to Judas. He authorizes Judas. Not only permits, it authorizes. Because his mission was to come as a sacrifice, so Judas was to go to betray him, all right? If you're going to do it, better for this man that he had never been born, said he of Judas. Do it quickly, get it over. Spatter everything with ugly used oil. But do it quickly. If that's your task, let's be over with it. And so you have the same thing, this power, this presence. They come to him. They find him in the garden of prayer, just like a temple being turned into a place of thieves. So here you have the place of prayer turned into a place of betrayal. There is Judas with the temple guards, with numbers of people, with clubs and swords. I have spoken in public. Why do you have to do this? Well, obviously they did it at night because he was so popular. If they'd done it in the day, they would have had trouble. Friend, why have you come? He says to Judas. Master, says Judas, kissing him, in order to identify him so the soldiers could take him. Not the prettiest of principles was he following. I am he. Still takes the lead. Doesn't wait for them to find him. Here I am. No problems. Here's the truth. Here's the fact. You're after me. Here I am. But let the disciples go. Still directing. Authority was still there. He took over the reins just like his company director walking into the midst of a shareholders' meeting. And then we come to the resurrection itself. Jesus, please come quickly. Our brother, the one you love, say his friends in Bethany. Please come quickly. When Jesus was somewhere else in the land and his well-loved friend was sick. He turns haste, quickness, into quietness because he has power. The power of a prince and the power of the prince of life. No, he waits. Why? So that Lazarus would not only be dead, but dead for several days, so that no one could ever expect anything. As the people point out, there will be a stench, a stink. We can't have you coming at this stage. Your brother shall live. Lord, I know that he will live in the resurrection, but Jesus wept. He was thoroughly human. His friend was dead. They take him to the tomb. One of the sisters says, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Potential embarrassment, potential difficulty, potential horror. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. Easy to say, though said with eloquence. But what about the corpse? If you try to be something or somebody you're not, it can be very hard. But if you try to be God, it's quite impossible. Unless you are. There was only one answer to this situation, one for which Jesus had quietly prepared and planned, but they relied on his having power over life and death. Lazarus, he says after that they've led him to the tomb, come forth. They used to put on these bandages in these cases for reception of perfumes and so on. Out comes Lazarus bound. He's there. He's alive. It's just a little thing he had to do. He's the Prince of Life, so he uses the power. Again. And that, turning the situation completely around. I mean, the expectation. They have some soccer or rugby champion. Will he get his goal? Will he? And the people who are getting wrapped up in that, may surge and ripples may go through the crowd. But will he raise the dead? How will he meet his friend's death? How can he possibly say, come forth? How ridiculous this is going to be. Oh, what a failure. Oh, I wish it hadn't come to this. But no, not at all. Such fears were never realized. He came forth and was the preliminary to Christ's own death and resurrection. Here was a case right before the cross. Just days. And that power was demonstrated. The heart of the nation was prepared, whether they liked it or not, to see this pattern of the prince. This principle, I am the resurrection. I can do it to one, I can do it to all, and I'll have it done to myself. Though the difference is this, that I bear the sins and you are forgiven the sins. I have the power. My Father has given it to me. So the situation changes. But there he's on the cross. If you be the Christ, come down from the cross. No. He stays there quietly, doesn't argue. The facts speak literally for themselves. Let us then look at some of the cases around that resurrection showing the same principle. For example, we read in Luke that a couple of people are on the road to a place called Emmaus. There they are going along. They're so sad. Christ has been crucified. They're not aware of the resurrection yet. And Christ himself, being resurrected, draws near to them, talks with them. Haven't you heard? No, tell me, what's going on? Oh, this Christ came, this is the third day, and they've killed him. Oh, and Christ listens to all this. And then the situation is turned. Instead of being a co-mourner, you have here the person who makes it unnecessary to mourn at all. At first they don't recognize him. It's getting towards evening. They turn in, would you come in? And he says, all right. And he comes in and he breaks bread. They look at his hands. The case is remembered. Isn't that? That's the Christ. They suddenly realize this is the Christ. It's amazing. I find again and again, when I'm looking for something, I don't see it, though it's quite easy to see it, because I have in my mind something different from the thing itself. I thought it was blue, I thought it was red, and it wasn't, or I thought it was larger than it was, and so on. I just don't see it, because my mind was so fixed in an image of what I was to find. And these were fixed in an image of not finding Christ. They didn't even recognize him. Their hearts, why, it's you, Charles, you say suddenly, when you realize that someone you were passing by, I didn't recognize you. firm thought within, there's no Christ. But what a way he turned it round. In the intimacies of quietness in the evening, there's no doubt a light shining in their midst. They recognized him, and then he was gone. Gone in order to reappear before the 12, before the 11, one missing. And there they are again presented with the realities. No, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. That's quite true. Hand on me and see. And then when the day came for Thomas, put your finger and see for yourself. Everything turns around because of power, authenticity, because everything that he says happens. The fishing incident, similarly. There they are fishing, no fish. There's someone on the shore. He tells them as before where to find the fish. The nets are just filled with fish. Peter realizes the Lord. And this stranger on the shore becomes the King of Glory. Have some breakfast. And then, of course, a crucified corpse? No, the living God. He has words with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Once. Do you love me? Twice, a different word. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. The whole thing is turned with a masterful majesty. And then he lets on a prediction. If I will that this disciple remain. In other words, he predicts Peter's earlier death than John, which of course occurred. And Peter is recommissioned. So we have these transformations of the potentially vulnerable or dangerous, and it is done because he has the power. He has the knowledge. He has the wisdom. He has the wit. And he has the goods. What the situation requires, he gives. You wonder how some of these people can do hurdles and in 15 seconds hurdle over a whole lot of them without keeping one with appearance of ease. It's because they have the power. It's because this is their customary matter. And when the power is of life over death, life over death, we conclude with these things. Hosea, life over death. This power is the power of God. Hosea 13:14. God speaking. The same God that came and died and rose. And here he tells you in advance what he's going to do. Hosea 13. I will ransom them from the grave. Justice requires death, I'll do it. I will ransom them from the grave, from the power of the grave. He will do the thing in principle. I will redeem them from death. Oh, death! I will be your plagues. Oh, grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. He will not take pity. He will not say, oh, my son, I can't give you up. Pity is hidden from my eyes. This shall be done. I will ransom. Cost is as far as love will go. He doesn't seize the soul and change it with some drugs, philosophic or otherwise. It takes the soul that comes, and the soul that comes, he takes. O grave, I will be your destruction. And he is. And that's good. I like life, but only when it is in the presence of the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Power, the Lord of Glory, the Christ of Compassion, the Christ who is the ransom, the Christ who broke death and said, here is Lazarus, past history. Here is myself. Do you love me? Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the power of God, for the princeliness of the Prince, of the authority of the Author who made the creation. We thank thee for the simplicity of salvation. Do you want it? Take it. We ask thee to grant joy to our minds as we consider. If this world is worldly, Christ was in it and he wasn't. If you want purity of the most intense character, it is available. If you want peace past all understanding, it is there. Like the lake, you don't have to get agitated. Receive the peace, take the pardon, and become a personal friend of the Prince. If you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, said Christ. Amen.